thought something up there looked different. You're over there. Okay, is this different?
She's doing this just to screw us up.
That's right.
She doesn't like my, she doesn't like my deodorant I wear.
That's what she said.
So they put, you please rise and join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Shifted it, it's over. It wasn't this one, my eyes.
Yep, no, your eyes are screwed.
Morning. Moline County Board of Supervisors, January 16th, 2024.
Got that right, that right.
Start the day with a small victory. Are any changes to the pending agenda up here?
Yes. Item D and E will be removed from the agenda this week.
We'll get those back on as soon as we get with the contractor and get the proper documents and get the signatures and stuff, so.
We have an agenda. Meet with department heads, elected officials. Sarah Doty, before I forget that you're there. Moline County Auditor.
Good morning. Just busy getting W-2s and everything prepped for the end of the year stuff and getting all the end of the year things wrapped up and getting stuff ready for the primary already, so busy.
Thank you. Colin Gerst, IT.
Good morning. Just keeping busy like always. Had a fun time here this weekend with the temperature getting so cold. We had some issues with our air conditioners upstairs in the data center, so the room up there got a lot warmer than I wanted it to. I want to give a special thanks to Rodney and his guys for coming in on Sunday and hooking up a window air conditioner for us so that the data center up there didn't get too warm. Temperatures are still a bit warmer up there than I'd like, you know, trying to keep the equipment from getting too hot or for shutting down, but we're making do here at the time being, but other than that, you know, nothing really new to report.
I'm going to guess that's the only air conditioner you installed this weekend, buddy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you just open the window?
We did for a while, wasn't it?
Thank you. Kevin Glendinney, Des Moines County Sheriff.
Good morning. It's been a very busy week, as it has been for many. Some challenging conditions out there, but we're making it through it. We had the EMA meeting last week, Tom and I did. We got our consoles approved, which was a big step. Worked on the budget, and we're excited to be moving forward with the console and radio project. And Shane and I have a 911 meeting this Thursday, where we'll kind of continue to work on those that radio project. Our jail was at 84 this morning. We still have 14 out of county, but they're shuffling them around, and we're gonna get that number down today. We have two or three more moving out, and we have some room there, so we're gonna try to get that out of county number down.
If I could impose on you, Mr. Glendinney, Sheriff Glendinney, would you explain the console, the radio project? We both know it's gonna go over my head.
It's over my head too, but I know enough to be dangerous. So the radio, the dispatch consoles, there's four positions out at our dispatch center, which is DESCOM. Those consoles are 14, 15 years old. Just like anything, they're a computer. They reach the end of life. They are dated enough that they don't allow us to communicate on the most modern frequency, which is the ISX frequency, the Iowa State Interoperable Communication System. That is what the Department of Public Safety utilizes, and they put a tower in our county that we can also utilize. So with that, we need to update our consoles so we can update the radio frequency that we're using. And one of those consoles is no longer functioning. It's time for those to be replaced. So it's a much needed upgrade, and we're pleased to be moving forward with that, because without that step, we can't update our radios and the frequency that we operate on. So we don't have the interoperability with other law enforcement, with other public safety entities, fire, EMS, that we really need to have. So the next step of this project after we get the consoles is, was that my timer? Should I stop talking?
No. You're out of time.
Oh, gosh.
The next step is we're gonna look at upgrade of our radios, which are also reaching end of life. The big issue we have is Our towers are dated. The equipment that is in those towers that makes our radios operate is dated, and we need to have a path forward. So we've worked with a consultant, we've worked with some experts in developing that plan, and I think we have a good plan to move forward.
I think we'll get the radio coverage that we need with this change that we
The public safety standard is 95%. We are not at that. We drastically need some improvements. I can kind of go into depth about what they did to UHF several years ago with some narrow banding and having to add additional tower sites because of the narrow banding issue and the signal not traveling the way it used to, but there's a lot of expense with that. And so with that, our signal has gone down over the last decade or so. But with this next step, we're gonna get to where we need to be.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
In the beginning, you said you were talking with your, it sounded like EMF team?
EMA?
EMA.
Emergency Management, sorry. The Emergency Management Board met, and we worked on, that was, I'm trying to remember what day that was.
Last Wednesday.
The EMA board just put together their budget, and the EMA board is also the DESCOM control board that has oversight of the finances for DESCOM.
Thank you.
Shannon Pradoy, Emergency Management.
Nothing to add. Can't follow that.
That's why I knew I was in trouble. Rodney Wiesner, Maintenance.
Good morning. I've just been really busy, so I really want to give a shout out to my guys in my department. They've done a great job. Just a lot of work, a lot of hours in the cold doing things. So I really appreciate each and every one of them. For the most part, everything's went pretty well through the weather. Like I said, Colin said, we had a little issue this weekend with the air conditioners, but air conditioners are not meant to run when it's this cold, so got that fixed up. Other than that, things are going pretty well, so nothing new to add.
The air conditioners got low ambient controls on them?
I'd have to check. I'm not sure. Yeah, there's just a couple of little mini splits to keep the server moving.
They probably don't need air.
It works great, 99% of the time, but when it gets this cold, they tend to freeze up and we end up having issues trying to find a way to keep the server room cold.
Open a window.
I did, twice. I opened it and then came back down like 3 a.m. there Sunday morning, put a fan there in the window, tried to blow it, and it was still getting too hot in there. I was really worried the equipment was going to start shutting down, which I'm sure wasn't going to make dispatch very happy. So, but anyways. Trying to make do with what we got.
I wouldn't have guessed that getting part of the courthouse air conditioning over the weekend would have been a problem, but yeah. I would have been wrong. Thank you. Thanks, Rodney. Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy. I don't have anything new to report.
Thank you. Angie Vaughn, Safety.
Good morning. Same thing. Nothing new to report. Just keeping busy.
Ken Hyman, Mental Health Agency, Southeast Iowa.
Good morning. I've missed a few weeks, so I'll try and catch up on a few things. The governor wants to change the behavioral health system. We're right in the middle of starting our 13-county region. We're trying to line up with the judicial system. And now the governor has put out some recommendations to combine mental health and substance abuse disorder services, which is a good idea. But also changing the regions, the geographic area of regions. So maybe turning them into something at some other name than regions too. And it might make like Johnson County part of our region now. So we'd be bigger, we'd be even bigger than the 13 counties that we're planning to be. So this all requires legislation. We're waiting to see if legislation comes out and exactly what it says, but just know that the governor's recommended something. We'll see what happens from it. And then the ID population and DD that we've been serving would go over to the HHS Aging and Disability Network. So,
Ken, could you define ID?
Yeah, intellectual disabilities and developmental disabilities. Yes, so persons with those diagnoses, the regions have been funding those along with mental health. And now, if the governor gets the legislature to put this all into a bill, we might just be doing mental health and substance abuse, and then the HHS Aging and Disability Network would be doing intellectual, helping people with intellectual disabilities and developmental disabilities. So we'll see, we need to wait and see what the legislation actually says. Another thing, RFPs, requests for proposals are coming out for ACT teams, which is assertive community treatment. That's an evidence-based practice that we're required to have for our state contract. And we have ACT teams over on the Ottumwa side of our region, but we don't have them in this area. So we're trying to get them in this area to come in compliance with what the state wants. And IRSH, our intensive residential services. We have one IRSH home here in Burlington, and the state wants 120 beds of IRSH homes. So according to our population of our region, we need to have more IRSH beds over on the other side of our region, over towards the Ottumwa area. So
how many IRSH homes are there in the state currently? Can't be more than half a dozen.
Yeah, I don't have that number, but
it's not very many.
Yeah, it's not very many. We were pretty early getting our IRSH home up and running. And so we're working on an RFP for that too, to come in compliance with what the state wants. So those RFPs haven't come out yet, but they're going to come out soon, and regional planning will be doing, will be accepting all the applications for the RFPs and scoring them for us. And so we appreciate them doing that.
For us to meet the ACT requirements, that ACT facility has to have a psychiatrist on staff, don't they? So that limits the number of applicants?
Yeah. Yep, it is a service that goes out to people, and it's in there. It's, you have to have an ACT leader, a psychiatrist, psychiatric nurses, employment specialists, substance abuse specialists, certified peer specialists, program assistant, and additional mental health professionals. So
your typical nonprofit doesn't have anything like that. That's more a hospital setting.
Yeah, or a mental health. Let's see. I think that's all. Southern Iowa Mental Health was named a CCBHC. We have lots of acronyms, don't we? And they did a training in our last meeting about what is a CCBHC. It's called a Certified Community Behavioral Health Clinic. And I got a PowerPoint on that if anybody wants to see that. But basically, Southern Iowa Mental Health's over in Ottumwa. They're in our region. And the states joined this demonstration project, got this grant, and they've become a CCBHC through the state. They have to meet a whole bunch more requirements to do this. Kind of does make their rates a little better. And so they're one of few agencies that have been honored with being a CCBHC. So one of the new acronyms in our field. So
send that PowerPoint to me if you don't mind.
Sure. Yep.
That was quick.
Another thing
these are the RFPs that will be coming out. I mean, those are drafts.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Can you keep these?
Sure.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
That's all for now.
Thanks, Kim. Janelle Mally Long, Long County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy doing some end of the year stuff. We're starting to work on 1099s to get those out. And I see the Iowa Department of Revenue's got some of their 2024 tax credit forms out, so we'll be working to get some of those printed off and sent to former residents who have applied in the past. So we're just keeping busy.
Okay. Thanks, Janelle. Zach James, Southeast Iowa Region.
Yeah, good morning. Not a whole lot new going on with land use stuff. I got a couple subdivisions kind of going on. That's during the budget hearing, kind of have some things that from the previous year, 23, that maybe didn't get finalized or people called us about. And so Jared and I are a list of those. We're actually going to go through some of that today and just see what we what we need to do to keep those things moving forward. Some of those are subdivisions or zoning permits, things like that. So otherwise, nothing new to report.
Thanks, Zach.
Yep.
That'll be Stephanie, Des Moines County Recorder.
Good morning. Just business as usual. Nothing new. I'll pass my time on to Brian.
I suspect you'll need it.
Someone got that agenda.
Whether he needs it or not, he's going to take it. Our countywide snow removal expert and engineer, Brian Carter.
Well, I didn't think it was fair. An alarm went off for Kevin, didn't go off for Ken. No, I would.
Before I forget, I know this is going to be a speech from you, but before I forget, give your road crew a good big thank you for me.
I have, and I will be doing it again. I was going to go there. I was going to echo a lot of what Rodney said. A ton of credit to my guys. Everybody kind of knows what it's been like the last two or three days, because that's when they've really been stuck and really been tired of being in their house and everything else. But the fact is, we've been doing this for a week or longer now. The guys been working 12 hours, even 14 hours a day. If you've ever driven in like just a solid like 8 hours in bad weather, like blinding snow kind of a thing, take that times about three for what our guys were doing, especially the last 2 days with the motor graders. Saturday, I think, was a complete whiteout, and we ran 12 hours. Now, unfortunately, about 3 hours after we went through it, flooded back up because of the wind. And so, you know, a lot of times, kind of that clock for when we get things cleared really depends on when the wind lays down. And Kevin and I talked a couple times this weekend and even before that, and that's just a major factor. And I said last week, I talked through some stuff, and I don't feel like we've had a real winter for quite a while. And I still actually say this isn't a real winter, but this was a real storm. I got to stop short of saying historic, because I can only go back so far, but if you talk to the old boys, and if you talk to anybody, particularly when you get to the north end of the county, talk about the winter of 79. And I can't imagine, I think historically, snowfall-wise, we actually passed that. But snowfall doesn't tell the story. If you live in town or you live in kind of a hilly, treed area, it's a different world than when you get into the flats where there's wind. It's a perspective you can't get until you see it. I got to believe that we went past what they faced in 79. Now, in 79, keep in mind, they didn't have the equipment we have. They didn't have the internet, which is a bonus. There's stories of them, the county hiring private dozers back in 79. They didn't remember their motor graders wouldn't have been what we have. I say this, that really proud, but we can say that now the pavements were in really good shape by the end of, they all run together. I want to say by the end of Sunday, I don't think there was a single pavement, county pavement, that you couldn't safely get somewhere. Now, you might not have been able to drive 65 mile per hour, but I don't think there was a single pavement that you couldn't get somewhere on. So credit to those guys and keeping that. That's obviously our top priority, and that's what we focused on for those trucks. But the gravels, I think, from the time the wind laid down, and it laid down Saturday late afternoon, evening. From the time it laid down, so that was two full days, I think we had a hole punched everywhere. It doesn't mean it was pretty. And there were a few of them we hit Saturday that still got to get back to, because of course they drifted back in and stuff like that. But in general, you could get somewhere. But it's one lane, it's maybe a lane and a half, and we're going to live this way for a while. I mean, there's places where there's nowhere else for snow to go. And we're running B plows that are 8 foot tall. We've got sides of road that are 10 plus feet tall of snow. So credit to my guys. They deserve all the credit. They put the hours in, the shop guys and the superintendents. Credit to the staff in the office, because they've taken a lot of phone calls and they've stayed patient. Some folks leave unhappy because they don't like the answers. I said last week, and I'll drive the point this week, we don't clean out mailboxes and we don't clean out driveways, and that's not going to change. I don't think there is anybody yesterday that would have said, I wish you would have cleaned out all these mailboxes even if it took you an extra day to get to my road. And that's the truth. I mean, we have mailboxes at the Drisk 4 foot higher than the mailbox. So, and you can't get near, I feel bad for postmen right now. I mean, there's mailboxes you can't get within 5 foot to. And so I'll say that again because I expect that to be even hotter topic over the next couple days. It's wild. It's like something that you're not going to see all that. I hope we don't see very often. That's what I'll tell you. I want to give credit to Kevin's guys. I feel like they walk a tough line. I know they get calls all night long. Kevin and I talked about this. We don't respond at night unless it's an emergency. So if you go and get stuck when you shouldn't be out, because you feel like you really need to get to work or you feel like you really need to get home, we're not sending a motor grader out at 2 a.m. because you get stuck. So stay in your vehicle, stay warm, and it might be a while before you can get out because that's not an emergency. And you've got guys, we only have a limited number of guys, we have a limited number of equipment, and we're running long hours as it is. So if you haven't experienced this, take your lessons and apply them going forward because they're going to apply someday again. And so otherwise, again, ton of credit. I think the quick actions from somebody who decided to, there was a gentleman who decided to wander off from a warm vehicle Saturday night, Kevin's deputies, I think. I don't know his condition, but if he had a chance to live, they're the only reason that he had a chance to live is the deputies. We did run a motor grader out and helped him go looking. That's an emergency. You know, I don't know if it saved his life or not, but that's an emergency right there. And I woke the guy up dead out of sleep. Credit to him for answering his phone. Because he'd been driving around in a blind out, white out conditions for 14 hours and was exhausted. He came in and ran for probably 2 or 2.5 hours while they went looking. And so, if the deputies hadn't pursued that, I'm quite sure in those conditions, what was it, 40 below wind chill that night, there's no way anybody was living in that outside. So anyway, I can't give enough credit to the guys. They deserve every bit of it. We're not done. We are going to scale back to regular hours on our motor graders for the rest of this week. We're not going to quit working. The guys will keep on working. I mentioned this to Jim. You know, if you have to be on the gravel roads and anything big, you know, if you're a farmer for some reason that thinks you need to haul grain in a semi, or you're a bus driver, you're going to get out there if you haven't looked around and you're going to be shocked. You're not going to be able to turn around. There's corners you're going to have a hard time turning because there's that much snow and there's nowhere else for it to go. I had a complaint, it would have been Saturday afternoon, late afternoon, and the guy had cleared this road, and they sent a picture, of course, because that's what some people do. And the road was drivable. The complaint wasn't, he'd been down the road. Road wasn't wide enough. Needed to be able to meet two vehicles. It's not safe, you know. He met somebody in a car and had to get over. That's the foreseeable reality that we have going forward. I mean, even going, and when I say we're gonna go widen out, we're gonna try to get from like 10 foot wide to 12 or 14 foot wide in places. Not to 24 foot or 20 foot or whatever it is. So anyway, if you guys get calls, and I'm sure you do and you will, please don't hesitate to pass them on to our office or pass them on to me so I can pass them on. I'll give you, as you guys know, I'll give you the honest perspective on it. Again, to get a hole somewhere for everybody within 2 days of the wind laying down is, and credit to our guys, because once they got down with the district, they went over and helped another district if need be. We do have one motor grader that we're still waiting on Cat to come take a look at. Fortunately, we have a spare, so we were full strength. But what people don't see behind the scenes too, we got one motor grader lost about 2 hours of time because he got a call that he might need to go. We know they asked him to deadhead miles and miles and miles to go possibly help an ambulance get into somebody that had made a 911 call. So he lost 2 hours of his day to that right at the end of the day. And we had some other stuff. And then you end up with guys stuck. You just do. You know, if you think it's hard to see where the road is, then it's even harder when you're busting through drifts and stuff. So, you know, you have to go pull guys out and stuff like that. And that's part of the stuff. So anyway, I think my alarm's going off, but a lot of credit to my guys. I appreciate every hour they put in. Both trucks and plows, doesn't matter. They all had a big job and they all got it done. Credit to the work on the equipment too. I mean, I don't think we've had a single permanent breakdown on a truck. We have one spare running because of a part that broke that was not our doing. It was a manufacturing defect and the manufacturer's gonna cover it. And then, like I said, we had one motor grader and it's all electronic stuff. And we parked it and ran the spare. So we've managed to get through these temps full strength and kept on going, so.
Do you even have a clue how much it would be for how much extra manpower and time it would be to, you know what we're getting right now, but you know what, I'm getting a lot of driveways and stuff like that, you know.
We're not cities.
The cities don't do it.
You can't afford it. I mean,
the city can't.
Well,
city.
If you tore something up, they'd turn around and sue you for it.
So
you don't want to go there.
I'm just saying to get every driveway, you know, to get all those crumbs. Nobody can afford to do that. Nobody would touch that. The manpower, yeah. The machinery, the money that it would cost. It just doesn't make sense. But
well, and it's. I mean, you if you step back and look at it, because it's a grind. Okay, and by the time you're done with this grind, I won't say you become numb, but you certainly become callous to a certain extent because it is a grind. So when somebody catches a guy out on the road and complains at him, they got to keep their composure because that's what we need to do. But if you're 70 some years old and your driveway's plugged with 5 foot of snow, and I mean, it's not something you deal with. And so I get their frustration. I mean, I get it because I've dealt with it. But unfortunately, if you love where you live and you're on a gravel road or even on a paved road, because we're getting complaints on paved roads too, and you love where you live in the county, this is part of that, I don't know, dark side of living.
It's the dark side of living in town too. It happens in town too. You know, I showed my driveway up, they came and they just clogged it back up again.
Oh, yeah.
It's wintertime, man.
And we've been guilty of doing that. I will tell you that first wet snow, that 12 inches of wet snow we got last week, collected a lot of mailboxes. We have a lot of unhappy people. I sent you guys an email about it. I had a guy call multiple times, and he really, really, really didn't like me. But when you're trying to get 12 inches of wet snow cleared off of a paved road, first of all, you can't just putt along at 5 mph, or you're not gonna go anywhere. So you gotta move to get it up and over the curb, get it off the road, and if your mailbox doesn't take it, that's rough. I mean, that wet snow's hard on anything. So there was a lot of that when we started out with just a terrible heavy wet snow. So yeah, I mean, it's a theme. It all came, I think we got it all in about a week and a half of all the different scenarios that I think you can imagine. I hope they don't see it again for a long time. The problem is they're gonna live with them now for a little while, and they're gonna need to find a neighbor with a tractor or something like that, or hire a snow service or something. There are people out there, they don't, you know, I've got a tractor, you know, that's my life. I also farm, so, but not everybody can say that. So they're gonna definitely have to look in a direction that they've not had to look before to deal with some situations. So, and that's frustrating, and I understand why people get frustrated by that. They've already been stuck in their house, and then all of a sudden they realize they can't get out of their driveway. So it's understandable. It unfortunately doesn't change that situation. But
so. My driveway is about 35 foot long, and I got stuck before even got out where they plowed it up.
Yeah.
And I was lucky some guy come along with the snowplow. I said, "You stuck?" And I said, "Yeah." So he took care of it for me.
There are a ton of good neighbors out there, a ton of good people willing to help people out, and that's been happening all over this county for a week or longer. So a lot of good people out there, and you might have to lean on somebody like that, but I know I've been helping people in my neck of the woods, so anyway.
How long is it gonna take before it melts?
Spring.
To be honest with you, I actually almost dread that more than I do this, because the roads can't drain, the ditches are full.
Pretty sloppy.
That first wet snow was so wet, and then we froze, so it plugs normal drainage off, it plugs culverts off. I don't know how long it'll take, but it is gonna be a huge mess. Yeah.
It's going up into the 40s beginning next Monday.
Next week with rain.
It'll
polish
the gravel roads.
The gravel roads will turn to a sheet of ice.
They will be polished.
I mean, you don't realize, I mean, the only thing is a lot of them have bumpers now, but so you go dig through the snow in your yard, my guess is your yard's not frozen. I mean, it insulates it. And so underneath, it's actually, you'll get into mud in a lot of places. But the gravel roads are frozen. I mean, they've probably now got a foot and a half of frost in them. So as soon as that rain starts up, and then you got snowpack from the guys clearing and what's there, it will literally, and then it can't drain, it'll just freeze right there on the roads. And there will be nothing we can do but polish them with the motor graders. We won't, if we get what they're talking, 40 and rain, it will truly be a skater. There will be no, you have to remember, we spent all of December with muddy little half inch rains on and off. I told you that it's not like there's rock really because of the mud. And then on top of that, you've got what we've had. I actually dread that worse than anything. Ice on gravel roads is, you just don't win. So we'll see. We'll see what the weather does. How long will it take to melt? I'm guessing it's going to be sometime in April. I don't know. The quicker it can go, the better. But man, it's going to be a mess when it does.
The good news is all the fingers pointed at Brian. None of the rest of you.
That's
just BC.
That's all right. That's the way it goes. So, yeah, it's quite the deal. Pay attention, because this doesn't, I hope it doesn't happen very often. It's rare, and it needs to be rare, but it's something that you might not see again for a long time, especially in the drifting areas. So, anyway.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, guys. Thanks for everything.
Yep.
Thank you. We're from around here. We have an idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean.
Some of us remember 78, 79.
See, I wish I could. I really do. I would love to compare that. There's no good way for me to do that.
Went out to, I lived in Iowa City, and snowing. They kept saying, well, they said, but you could get a couple more inches, and it just never stopped snowing. They didn't have the sophisticated equipment they have today, and it just kept snowing and snowing, and it was cold. Mm-hmm. It was 20 below zero, and the wind was blowing. So I was dying to get the Big Peach, the Duane Register sports section. So I got dressed and got in the car and made it to the Skelly truck stop, where, you know, because it was always open. But as you look down the Interstate 80, for as far as the eye could see in any direction, there were semi trucks pulled over in the on the shoulder of the road that couldn't go anymore. They lost a 3 or 4 year old girl. Somehow she got out of the car, her parents had her out, and she was lost for hours. It scared to death, and they found her. She had curled up inside the tire of a semi. She could get in there.
Yep.
And was huddled up like that and sort of got covered with snow or stuff, and they found her and she was okay.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, I talked to somebody from the DOT this week, and they said, and you gotta remember, it's worse elsewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we actually missed a little bit of the snow. We were forecasted originally to get another 12 inches. It's worse when you go north and west of us. And somebody from the DOT told me they had 500 semis stuck between Iowa City and Des Moines. So, I mean, it could be worse. So I can take that for what it is, but
let's not tempt fate.
So anyway, no, I in the end, again, I think a ton of credit to Kevin's office and Kevin's guys, because I think they did a really good job of dealing with things, but also understanding the true limits of what's out there and managing those expectations. I can't even imagine the calls that dispatch took and to a certain extent dealt with. And then credit to my guys. So I appreciate all the time of all of them. So.
Thanks, Ian.
Yep.
Kevin, thank you, guys, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard, you know, there's only so many plow drivers and road workers that can keep up with it, and you can't run them 24 hours a day, and then at nighttime people continue to drive and drift start, and then they were dealing with vehicles stuck in drifts in the middle of the travel portion. And you can't get a tow truck to them, the deputies can't get to them without getting stuck, which we did several times, just to make sure we could get to the occupants of the vehicle so we could get them out. But we left a lot of vehicles in the middle of the road. And then as the plow drivers got to them yesterday, we go out and get them out.
And I didn't even mention that. I mean, there's been a ton of communication that I've not been in the middle of between our superintendents. Our guys will call the superintendents. Superintendents call law enforcement. Just vehicles that are stranded that had to be towed because we couldn't get the road. There's still one. We've plowed in both directions to it, and now I think there's snow 10-foot high both directions. And Pigtown Road, for instance, right now is still, you can't get through it because you can't even, from what I gather, you almost can't even see the vehicle, but it's square in the middle of the road.
They're trying to move it right now.
Yeah, and I don't envy somebody because, I mean, we're not going to stop and dig a vehicle out because we don't have the roads done at that point. So it's somebody's vehicle, and they're willing to tow. I just don't think they can almost physically get to the vehicle anymore. So credit to them because they were towing stuff, which they take very seriously. You try not to go tow somebody's vehicle, but when the road's got to get cleared, they've been more than willing to make that phone call and try to get a truck driver or a tow truck in there to get it moved. And it desperately needed because otherwise we can't get through. So,
I think that state trooper that got stuck out there with Danville didn't have four-wheel drive on that car on that road, did he?
I think they all have four-wheel drive now.
Do they?
Yeah.
I know a tractor come to pull him out and another guy beat him there. But
I've been pulled out by tractors and farmers before.
It does happen. It does happen. There's no question about it.
What I'll add is that this incident happened Saturday night. Is a young man got stuck, tried to make it home, couldn't, ended up getting stuck in a snowdrift. We could not locate him. We got stuck trying to get to him. One of Brian's guys came out and plowed a path for us, and one of our sergeants, nighttime sergeants, and I believe it was Mr. Campbell, wasn't it?
Yes.
They came out and they made it to him, and they ended up having to lift him out of the snowdrift and get him into one of our squad cars. And he backed out, and if not for them, he would not have made it. But he did make it. It's a very difficult circumstance, but one of those situations that is, it was very hard, I think, on everybody.
Yep. So a lot of credit all the way around. A lot of people part of it.
So it was a good county.
And we're not done. I mean, there's still a lot of work to do. There's still plenty of people unhappy. I don't know if we'll make them all happy, but we will keep working and keep widening and doing what we can. And when we're all to that point, we'll get more snow and deal with it again. So I just, one more warning is that when we get to this point, people don't realize, but if you see a little like a 1-inch snow in the forecast, which I've been told they've brought in now towards the end of the week, and it's got any wind at all, that road, even with 1-inch snow, if you live on a drifted gravel road, it will fill back in sometimes all the way to the same depth as the drifts that are there on both sides, even with a 1-inch snow. So again, if you live out there somewhere and you see that in the forecast, pay attention. Because if you just get up the next morning and take off driving, you may be one of those vehicles stuck in that road. It may have been crystal clear that evening. And the next day, if it's 20 mile per hour wind and they got an inch of snow overnight, it can fill that deep that fast. So you just got to really pay attention and try to be safe.
And just a reminder, everybody should, this kind of weather, should keep a candle and a pan in their car. Because this one simple candle can keep you freezing to death if you get stuck. So keep a candle and a cooking pan in your car.
I talked to a lady yesterday afternoon, their pipes burst and sometime, I don't know when, and they were just wondering when we were gonna get by, and she was really nice actually for her situation. Unfortunately, her road was one of the last ones we got to out of those 2 days we worked through those. And she was melting snow for water because they had no water in their house. She was doing the best she could with what she had. So, yeah, it's a valid point.
Can you put up a snow fence?
Long snow fence.
Thank you. Correspondence. Either of you gentlemen have any correspondence? I have none.
I've got plenty, but I'm gonna leave Ryan alone. I think he's had enough damage this morning.
Well, you can pass any correspondence on you want. That's part of the game.
I already passed on our.
We will proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable claims in the amount of $652,227.15.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. We have a resignation letter from the Tama Township Clerk. Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, please accept my resignation as Tama Township Clerk, effective with the approval of my successor, Randy Meeker. If there are any questions, please give me a call. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Randall Plum. Plum?
Plum.
Plum.
I move to approve resignation.
Second.
Sarah?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Plum. That's not a very easy position to fill or to do. And we have an appointment for the Tama Township Clerk. Moyne County Board of Supervisors, my name is Randy Meeker, and I'm seeking to replace Randy Plum as Tama Township Clerk. I attended the annual meeting of the trustees and am comfortable with taking on the clerk responsibilities. I will await your approval before starting the transition. It's not making me wait very long.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Meeker.
I know both of them. We're losing a good one, the games are good.
Okay, we have a personnel action for the Sheriff's Office. Teresa Tripp, an administrative assistant, a 1 year step increase. Previous rate was $47,273.33. The new rate is $49,761.40, effective January 22nd.
Motion to approve.
Second. Sarah?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. Somebody stuck a Southeast Iowa Regional Planning Commission annual report in here. Would you like to address this, Zach?
I don't know if I really need to say a whole lot.
Okay.
I don't have a copy in front of me, but we had another really good year. We did celebrate 50 years as an organization.
Congratulations.
And, I think the number we decided on is we've helped bring over $300 million to Southeast Iowa in 50 years, with most of that probably in the last 20, just to different projects for housing, transportation, so on and so forth, water, sewer, all those types of things. So. But had a good year and appreciate everybody that's in this room that helps make us successful too. So,
thank you.
This boy wasn't born 50 years ago.
I was born 42 years ago.
Yeah.
So. Been around longer than I have.
Yeah.
He doesn't remember the winter of '79 either.
No.
I don't either.
I don't. I do not.
If anybody wants to see this.
Too many children.
It will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public.
I remember it.
Yep, I was a media.
You don't remember it at three?
We have minutes of the regular meeting of January 9th.
Move to approve.
Second. Sarah.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Any other business? Future agenda items. Committee reports.
I didn't have any.
Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, you may call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. You can email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. We will give you a couple minutes to initiate that email or call. In the meantime, if anybody from the public would like to address the board, please identify yourself and address it.
Leo Hollowell, 2018 South 13th Street here in Burlington. And I see you guys all together. It's been a long time since I've been to a board meeting. I used to come back years ago quite a bit. And I just, things finally, it was like I came for, actually for one item, but three items. One is about the Brian hit on with mailboxes. I've got 30 years of the Postal Service. It's responsibility of the owner of the mailbox to clear the path to it. And because I went through that with up in Mount Pleasant, City of Cary, we couldn't reach the box on curbside delivery. They didn't get their mail ahead, and they just couldn't say, well, the city piled it. So, well, but you're responsible for it. And next item was, I let them make it last fall, but kudos to you guys for getting the new health center going. I got to know very much, and it was like she's like a kid in a candy store. I really appreciate what you guys did on that. That was much needed. My main item I came here for is, you're in a budget process, and nothing good ever comes out of Washington, D.C. or Des Moines, Iowa when it comes to government. I understand the dilemma right now with the factor of the limit, maybe a cap on property and stuff. But I, as a member, board member of the Des Moines County CERT team, deputy chief, must speak to everything. With the change in transition with Shannon becoming a full-time director, that we still need a part-time assistant. That I know Gina's, and she's, I know Shannon's going to put a lot into it. When she got hired on initially, found her background, all of us four board members, was like, yes. Well, then it was like, okay, Gina's retirement company. She's got a master's in nursing management. She soaks up stuff like a sponge. And we're so glad. But at the same time, I know she's going to put her heart and soul into the DMA job. And just like Gina did, well, there's a lot going on. It keeps getting more and more put on. But FEMA puts out all the rules and everything else. And we had a board meeting last Thursday night. All four of us board members, we said we'll do what we can, because the board was made up and everything by Gina to help lessen her workload. But still need a volunteer coordinator, because all four of us board members work. Yes, I've been retired 15 years, but I'm in a part-time job right now that I kind of like. In a way, except we're right now doing early morning shift. I'm usually not up until 8 o'clock, and I'm going to work at 7 today. And I just want to speak to Ray, loudly support not cutting the budget for the EMA. Like I say, she's going to be overwhelmed. She learns quickly. She's going to still be overwhelmed. What's going to happen when we get into April, May, June. That problem, it's considered, and that's right out here, and that's the Mississippi River. We've seen what it can do. I've been through, I went through the flood of 93, living out north on the highway, 90 high, and been around all the other floodings, and it gets worse. Just like Brian said, you know, with the snow and everything, it's going to be here for a while. You know, I know the problems on gravel roads and everything. The water can't go anywhere, it's going to stay right on the gravel. And even on some of the paved roads and everything, it's got the curbs on them. So that was my thing, it's just really consider it. And it's a final deal not to cut the EMA budget. Thank you.
Thank you for your input, Mr. Alvin, we appreciate it.
Thank you, Cliff. Appreciate that. I believe.
You're Bob.
How do you spell your last name?
H-A-L-L-O-W-E-L-L.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Well, I think 2 minutes is up.
2 minutes.
So if we've, with an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. You all have a safe day.
Leo. Good seeing you.